Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And this is going to be, I think, a very informative show. Today is a day that in America we like to honor and respect those soldiers, those men and women, whose lives were profoundly affected by the activity that went on at Pearl Harbor. That's part of our nation's history. It was very dramatic, and it is what actually forced us in many respects, to enter into the activity and actions of the Second World War. My guest today is Dr. Katie Evans. She has written a book called The Unfortunate Hero. We today have soldiers, men and women both, who are in different points of location in the globe and or on the globe itself. And consequently, those soldiers, those warriors, when they come home, they have a lot of challenges that they have to face. Because when you develop a camaraderie with this intimate group of people that you are fighting with against what is the enemy as perceived, you come home to the social environment and you find that it's a much different world. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is what we're going to be discussing. And I want to welcome to the airwaves Dr. Katie Evans. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Donna. Thank you for having me this glorious day.
Well, I am just really, really pleased that we were able to coordinate so that you could be with us on this historical day that we have been remembering for so many years. Now, I want people to know a little bit about your background, because you have a PhD in clinical psychology. You're a state nationally certified alcohol and drug counselor. Also, you are involved in training. You have your own private practice, and for 30 years plus, you have been very much engaged in working with people treating trauma and addiction. You've offered home courses relative to this. This has been something that has been a passion for you. Can you tell us why? What was it that created this evolution into this very intense emotional environment of helping people that have gone through trauma of various types heal?
Well, Donna, I think the very first thing I would say, especially on today, it started as I'm a daughter of a war hero from World War II. And up to the day he died, my father finally confided in me that he had nightmares and flashbacks and what wasn't named at the time, but he certainly named by the time he died post-traumatic stress disorder. But he never sought help or went to the VA. Once I married my current husband, who is retired military, who also suffered post-traumatic stress disorder but never realized it, helped me understand better why my dad had so many medals and recognition ribbons and whatnot, having served such a relatively short time, given he was on Normandy and also served in the Pacific Rim Theater as an engineer for the Army and ended up being a master sergeant. I also inherited a wonderful stepson with my marriage who I was willing to let me interview him on camera, who told of his story and adventure through Iraqi freedom, who continues to suffer from alcoholism. However, after just 2 days here, he was able to understand what post-traumatic stress disorder was and at least changed to beer and felt empowered to go back to school and is being very successful since he graduated. It is my prayer for all our wounded warriors that they can begin to understand that it's only when they stop drinking that the healing can begin. Both my father and my husband were alcoholic who were sober, is sober in my husband's case, and I myself am almost 30 years in recovery from alcoholism and addiction. So I guess you wrap that all up into a knot, that plus work experience and education brings out my heart and soul and real life experience, and just loving to see the spirit of the human being and soulfulness set free.
Well, I think the adage that so often has been attributed to the Native Americans, and I can remember being taught this when I was a child, and that is, you can never really understand what another person goes through unless you walk in their moccasins. And it may have been phrased a little bit differently, but the wisdom is the same. And I think that that was one of the things that was so poignant to me when I was going through your book, when I was reviewing it, reading it, because I think it's very hard for the average person to have any comprehension if they have not been in the experience of warfare, number one, and if they have never known about how addictions and alcoholism can evolve. Now, I can relate to this very strongly because when I was a child, I had an uncle that had run PT boats during the Second World War. And when the war was over, and of course he was quite a bit older than me, when the war was over, I can remember hearing conversations as a child that he had almost killed his wife more than once when they were sleeping. And she'd awaken and find that he had his hands around her throat. He was still reliving the war. And at that time, just like it was with your dad, there was no PTSD diagnosis. And those that came home from that war, and also from the Korean War, and even those that came home from the Vietnam War, it was my understanding that it was just an attitude of suck it up. That's just the way it is, and put it behind you, and just be this stoic person and enter into this world of pretend that really did not exist, because so many times, like the flashbacks that you were talking about with my uncle, it ended up causing a divorce. And I remember talking to him in 1991. He was still alive, and I remember talking to him, and it was really sad because the trauma, knowing what I know today, the trauma still was affecting him because he was almost... He couldn't have control over his emotions. It was a very, very difficult time for him. And I, knowing what I know now, I feel very sad for the fact that here was someone whose life was literally destroyed because he didn't have anybody to talk to about it. So people like you, Dr. Katie, who... I hope you don't mind my calling you Dr. Katie.
Please do. That's what everyone I ever treat ends up calling me after the first time we met.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because you have such an empathy, not only because of what you've gone through, but because of what your family members have experienced, and then the hundreds of people who have crossed your path. So I think this is so important, because trauma has a face of many different forms, and it affects so many different emotional levels, and you're hardwired with that trauma in the brain, and to be able to de-traumatize the self so that you can have a functional life and stop running from what was the experience, and in a sense make a peace agreement. You can't change what you've lived through, but you can change how you live your life and what you do with your life. You need to know that you can take charge of it. This,
well,
for you is important.
That's so essential. You know, so many people with long-term sobriety like I have, there's a few adages. One is you can't hope for a better past. you know, you could hope for it, but it's not going to happen. So the best thing you can do is learn from it. And the biggest blessing I ever had was in 1983. When I was a very young woman, I ended up in drug and alcohol treatment because I became engaged in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which led me from being a self-absorbed person, even though I was a social worker and thought I was so wonderful helping abused children. My thinking was really self-absorbed in terms of being taking things personally and being so wounded all the time by everything. And to someone who became altruistic and very spiritually centered. And so much of what I see is missing, the key to true healing is developing faith in a certain level of spirituality, not religion. And make clear to all the listeners, it's like she's not a Bible thumper or Crin thumper or any kind of thumper, but just faith. In reading my book, the first chapter that was written by my husband, who stopped drinking when he met me, although he had cut back. He's Irish and had been in the military. I'm no idiot, you know.
It's right. Like,
I love you, but honey, alcohol shall not pass thy lips if you want to be with me. I'm not going to deal with any more alcoholics in my life unless I'm being paid to do so. And he just stopped because he and God talked one-to-one all through his life, as you can read in the beginning, his story, which he wrote in the beginning of the book. And so he has his own personal sharing, and all through writing this, you know, I just, nobody's read as much military.com or all of that stuff, I think, as I did, because I wanted to feel satiated with the mindset and worldview of what was going on at this
I think that's so important. One of the things that you talk about, and again, I can relate because of this member of family, that my uncle, and you said the rage imploding in a soldier with PTSD and addiction has led to a 40% increase in suicides, a 67% increase in violent crimes and deaths, and a 56% increase in head injuries from 2006 to 2007. And you make a statement, and we've already addressed it, touched on it a little bit. The inability to discuss what is being seen and done has a profoundly isolating effect on the soldier. All of this is so important, and you are very emphatic that there are five stages that you work with people, and everyone is different. Everyone will respond in their own way. You say stage one is crisis intervention, safety. Stage two is building stage, skills learning. Stage three is education stage, and it's reframing. Stage four is integration, weave the past and the present, and stage five is maintenance. Let's talk about this, because I can remember talking with soldiers that had come home from Vietnam, and addiction was just through. I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on, because drugs were handed out during Vietnam like candy, and a lot of soldiers.
That area of the world had so many narcotics and whatnot that people came home strung out on heroin and whatnot.
Right. It was really, really, it was bad stuff. And a lot of them hid it until their addiction became so severe once they got home. You couldn't hide it anymore. Let's talk about stage one, crisis intervention. How do you do this? I mean, we may have someone listening right now that has a loved one that has been in the military, regardless of their age, whether they're young, middle-aged, or older. They need help, and they know it. What do they do?
Well, we need to engage the family member and the warrior in wanting to get help. engagement with them is the number one therapeutic goal. It isn't completing a pile of papers at the VA or trying to get an appointment, because you'll lose most of them in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so angry that they won't put up with the nonsense, as my stepson calls it, to put it mildly, that you have to go through to get an appointment and fill out a bunch of forms and whatnot. They just don't want to deal with it. And so finding a way to engage them in the process of thinking that just maybe they can get help. And I do that in a couple of ways. One is simply by, you know, using some counseling skills like motivational interviewing, but also just by really listening to them. You know, that I've worked in trauma long enough that I know how to be in the movie with them and outside watching it at the same time. So
mm-hmm.
I don't freak out when they're telling me very traumatic memories. I can watch it with them and yet be objective outside and help them through it. And I teach them ways to contain that pain so it doesn't overwhelm them. And then during that process, I get a commitment to not drink for a short period of time, and then work with them during that time, working on containment of all of those rage feelings, flashbacks, whatnot. So I'm trading the alcohol for them to be the master of their own ship, their own self-sufficiency and success in managing those memories that feel like they've come home with them, the enemy in their head.
Mm-hmm.
They feel
now,
success, and that begins everything else. So immediately I pull out a PTSD workbook I wrote, and now I have the hero book so I can show them mm-hmm. some exercises where I show them the symptoms of PTSD, and it's like an epiphany. They just go, wow, that's me. So
right.
I normalize that for them and say, you're not abnormal. Anybody who came home from Iraqi freedom or whichever source of battle it was that they were in, it's totally normal to have what you have. You'd be abnormal if you didn't.
Mm-hmm. They'd have to be closed away in an office somewhere where they just never, ever saw the aspects
right.
of war. They just have to be isolated. Now, what about
right,
if you talk about
go ahead,
the skill ma'am. Learning. You talk about the skill learning, that's the building stage, number two. And
right.
you talk about setting boundaries and assertiveness. Well, if they're trained as a warrior, I'd say 99.5% of them are going to be very assertive personalities. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Why?
You can't doesn't teach you assertiveness and you go from 0 to 100. You know, you're submit, and then aggress. So there isn't that, you know, if aggression's 10 and submission's 1, you go to 1 to 10 and swish past assertiveness, which would be 5, 6, 7, 8. So they don't know how to graduate or grade their assertiveness on a scale. So I teach them how to have a magic knob, if you will, on when they feel like they've been cut off, hurt, you know, somebody's pushing down their boundaries so they don't just explode or implode.
Okay.
I want to mention to you on that suicide statistic this year, 2012, in June and July, the suicide rate doubled in the Army.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yes, since I wrote the book. Because I would happen, just so happen as God would have it, be at the coast where they were having a big Army Reserve stand down where they're all being trained on how to deal with suicide rate in the Army.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Well, so many of the soldiers today, because we don't have the draft like it had been implemented during the past wars, and these are volunteer soldiers. They are signing up because they're choosing to sign up. Nobody's forcing them or coercing them into doing it. And so when those kinds of statistics comes out, or come out, then that means that these soldiers that are being sent back five, six, seven, eight times over and over and over again, there is this psychological patterning that is being hardwired into them, and a lot of them are feeling lost. And, of course, when they come home, their spouses, and this is something you bring out. This is something that you bring out. You bring out the fact that technology, as we have it today, the instant email, the cell phone communication, the Skype, all of this, which we think is going to be absolutely wonderful, has in many ways been a detriment to the warrior out in the field because, one, his concentration isn't what it should be, and two, many times there is more infidelity and more divorce that it's just absolutely amazing the negatives that the technology has produced. What made you decide that positioning of observation?
Well, you know, it came to me through a lot of different places. Of course, talking to my stepson, because he'd gone through like 75 different cell phones that he'd smashed. It was an expensive habit. And exploring what the issue was with him and his cell phone, he had a cell phone in Iraq. And, you know, a lot of his marital problems around screaming at each other on the phone. And then I watched the movie Stop Loss, which is, of course, backdoor draft, where they kept extending deployments that were supposed to be 9 months or even 12 months into three or four tours that they couldn't, they could say, I only signed up for one, but once Uncle Sam owned you, you know, you go back because the president trumps you, as it states in the movie. And so you just have to go back and back and back and back. So you are, in fact, redrafted, even though you volunteered as a hero to serve your country. You know, I have Toby Keith's Red, White, and Blue song on my website because that got everybody all charged up to want to help after 9/11. Mm-hmm. But it's 2012. And as even as 2011, people were getting stop loss still and redeployed when they hadn't signed up for redeployment.
And so now, one of the things, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so the returning to your original question about cell phone contact is the ambivalence that is a source of so much tearing up of the soldier is they're never quite totally a comrade in arms, and they're never quite at home, they're never quite away from home, and they never are completely home, because the wife is calling, understandably, and I need you at home, the baby's crying, when are you coming back, what do you mean you have been extended, I can't live like that. So they start to be consumed with guilt and shame while they're in the middle of serving their country. And even a Newsweek article that came out this week finally discusses that. And that the guilt and shame that they're never right. It's a no-win situation. And the cell phones, you know, people are just in email, just spit out whatever they're thinking at the time. I don't know about you, but I've regretted a couple of emails I've sent when I wasn't thinking things through in the past. I learned quickly from that. But a, you know, traumatized wife and soldier might say anything. You know, during World War II, they wrote a letter, and so there was some thoughtfulness given to what they were writing. But in this instant email and online communication, there is, you know, anything can go.
Right.
And that now, is not done in a way that's helpful, I think.
In your book, The Unfortunate Hero, I really like how you give information about the military. And I think anyone that is a family member, someone that wants to be educated right by this, I think someone wanting to marry a military person, male or female, your book would be invaluable to them because it would enable them to gain a perspective. They might not totally understand it, but it would enable them to gain a perspective of what really they may be facing, let's say as a spouse or, again, another member of family. And one of the things you bring out, and I've done interviews relative to this, is that in these units, there's tremendous bonding between the men and women because they watch each other's backs. And they're like little cells, if you will, little cohesive cell units, because that is what their survival depends upon. And it's something you see in the Navy SEALs. You see it throughout all of the military branches. It doesn't make any difference. And there's also something you call trauma bonding, and that is especially significant because when you have gone through experiences of trauma and you and another individual have survived it, there's no way you can share that with a member of family. There's no way a husband can share it with a wife that is back home and dealing with a new baby. There's no way you can do that. There's not that. How in the world is that wife going to understand? She hasn't walked it. She may say, oh, my goodness, just take an aspirin and you'll be over your headache in a day or two. That's not it. The same with a husband that has a wife that's in the military. I don't care which gender it is. That is just a reality. And those persons in those units, they have such a camaraderie. I mean, it exists through their entire life. I've interviewed soldiers that they were in their 70s, 80s, and some even in their 90s, and their comrades in arms are even closer to them or have more meaning to them than their actual family members. And it's something that's very, very difficult for people to understand. And I think that's where reframing can come in and weaving the past with the present. And this is so significant, and this is part of what you deal with. I know we've only got about a minute or two, but what would you say to someone that is having a situation like this with alcoholism or drug addiction, whether it's the individual themselves or a person that they love and they care for, whether it's a friend or member of family? What would you say to them to really assist this person? You can't fix another person, but how can you assist them in reaching for help?
I would say to them that you have to have faith that there is help for them, and the best thing you could do for them is help assist them seek out that help and get help for yourself so that you can be there for them and understand for them and yet still get your own needs met in the case of a spouse. In the case of the soldier, know the true freedom and even a sense of redemption for what they may feel guilty about that they've done during the war can only come when they put a plug in the jug and stop drinking and really have faith that healing can occur. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it so many times that it's, you know, I've taken the material coursework, you know, because I train at the VA sometimes, and I know their curriculum, and it's a nice start, but it's so inadequate, and it's frustrating to get all these announcements. We need people to help us. We don't know what we're doing, basically. And then to say, fine, you know, here I am, and then, oh, we have a budget cut. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, and I'll write a letter to this or that, and I'm so grateful that I was invited to be on your show so that I can hope somewhere that there might be one soldier or one wife or one counselor that hears this, that maybe if they can read our book, which they can get both on Amazon or through my website, drkatieevans.com, can look just a little further into this and see that I've already written a model to help these people in recovery. They don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Well, Dr. Katie, this has been delightful. And today is the day, December the 7th, where we honor those that have served. And, of course, this day has a significance because of the association with Pearl Harbor. That's why it is honored. There's a lot of ceremonies. There's a lot of conversation going on today. But the warriors will always be with us. So being able to work with those warriors, being able to assist them, is very important. Dr. Katie Evans is the woman that we have been listening to today. She has dedicated her life and still works with those who have a need. Check out the book, Unfortunate Hero, The Soldier's Path from Trauma and Addiction. Go to her website, drkatieevans.com. That's drkatieevans.com. Dr. Katie, continue your work. There is such a huge need for it. Thank you so much for being on my show today.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. DrKatieEvans.com. Check it out.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And I want to put out our phone number should you want to come in, call in. Call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, just know all I want from you is your first name or your initial. I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. In fact, we've got a caller waiting. I want to thank the caller for being so patient. What is your first name or initial, please, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Linda. I was the first caller, I guess.
Oh, I see, Linda. Wonderful. Okay, now, Linda, I need to tell you something right off the bat. It sounds like
yes.
You're on a cell phone, and you're cutting out. Okay, there you go.
Oh.
Now you're cutting out. So please, if you are near any electronic equipment, like a computer, if you're listening to the show on the computer, get away from it. Because it interferes
okay.
with a cell phone. It's a weird thing, but I've learned that the hard way. It's like if you're close to microwaves or anything like this, it will actually cause your cell phone to act up very strangely. So I appreciate your calling back, Linda. What's your question for me? Because, yes, we ran out of time yesterday.
Well, I appreciated what you shared about the transition I'm going through with myself in life right now, and that was very helpful. And I'm also going through an experience of having my left ear is blocked, and I've been working on emotional components that might be causing that. but I'm also wanting to know physically what other things I can do to help that heal.
Well, let me share something with you, because I can relate to what you're talking about. And this is very practical information. I would like for you to try adding magnesium to your vitamin supplementation. Because what they have recently found is that many cases, I don't know that all of them are related to this, but many of them are caused because of a deficiency in magnesium. And often there is like a bacteria buildup or something that can occur in the inner ear. And if you're wanting to look at a helpful solution, because I've had inner ear issues, look at your supplementation, and this, again, is very practical information. I would encourage you to check out Dr. Carolyn Dean's website on magnesium, and that's CarolynDean.com. Check out her website and look up the research information that they have discovered regarding tinnitus or the blockage in the ear. And when you start taking magnesium, just sort of be an explorer with yourself. You know, you're not going to have an instant pill where everything's going to be fixed because everything's going on internally. But look at your supplementation and the dietary patterning that you typically follow. It may be that if you add the magnesium and, let's say, leave dairy alone for a little bit of time, that may end up assisting you. If you have got certain things with the sinuses, that there is a lot of sinus drainage, that can affect the inner ear as well. So check out the information, because, one, I'm not seeing your hearing lost. And I'd also go on and check, because sometimes to take care of the inner ear, a drop of hydrogen peroxide put into the ear, and then you let it sit there for about a minute, and then you tip your head back to the side so it drains out. Sometimes can take care of things that have like a yeast infection. But check it out. I think you're going to find it quite interesting. But I think that this has to do with more of a dietary. Now, I have no discomfort at all with what you're saying. Is there something in my mind? Because the mind-body connection is definitely there. But many times there are physiological things that need to be done so that with the body, a correction can be made. And this is something that, fortunately, science is catching up with more and more. And if you've had this for a while, which I think you've actually had this for about 5 years, and I just think it reached a point where now it cannot be ignored. If you're like me and so many other people, we women are especially good at this, but I know guys can do it too, we ignore the signs, if you will. We just say, oh, well, I'll just blaze through. We forget that our body is a living machine. That's how I like to describe it. And it is a massive chemical factory. So the body does whatever it can. And if it's not able to do it on its own, then it needs some assistance. So I would encourage you to consider doing some of the research regarding magnesium supplementation. Do you have any magnesium supplementation in your diet at this time?
Well, I am taking some supplements and the calcium. I think it has magnesium in it, but I do have a wonderful magnesium powder that I can start taking. I haven't been taking it here recently, so I'd be happy to take that. I do know it is of value, and I just didn't associate it with maybe assisting my ear, because a doctor tells me that I should take injections of steroids in my ear, I'm not too fond of wanting to do that.
Well, I think that this is a time when you need to do the research. And if you do the research on the steroids, you know, ask your doctor, what is it you're talking about? What are you discussing? And then let's look at some other options. But I would encourage you to do the research, because I think that this can be worked with. And the sad thing about the steroids is that it's like putting a Band-Aid on something. We want to get to what the potential cause might be. So don't be afraid to explore. But this has been with you a long time. This has been with you a very long time. So it's how do I get to the source? And you need to understand it's going to take some time for the body to stabilize itself. So whatever may need to be balanced out physiologically, and it will be, I think, a combination of certain dietary changes, and they don't have to be melodramatic. You know, you don't have to go to extreme on anything. But it's exploring and being the researcher for yourself and checking out the magnesium. And don't just take my word for it. Go to Dr. Carolyn Dean's site and find out what's there. I interviewed her about a week ago, and her book, The Magnesium Miracle, has just, it's just incredible information in there. But you can go to her site and check out a lot of information, too. And I want to thank you for your call. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. That's 888-627-6008. I have a story because today's December the 7th, as I've mentioned with our previous guest, Dr. Katie Evans. I came across this story. And it is about Milton Pub, who is a physician. He had a very, very profound experience, and it related to a member of his family who was in the Navy. He was leaving work, and he called his wife, as so many good husbands will do, to say, well, I'm on my way finally, and being a physician, your schedule is always erratic. And he said, I'm going to be late tonight. And he said, for some reason, he was very apprehensive that evening. And he couldn't quite explain why. And so he tried to keep his voice very, very calm when he was talking to her. And he said, my goodness, I traveled the same route home so many, many times. However, this particular night was different. There had been a major snowstorm that had come in, and the snow was falling very, very heavily. So it was driving very cautiously, very carefully, very, very slowly along the interstate. And he said, 1 minute I had control of my car, and the next my car was out of control. He wasn't going fast. It just, his vehicle, and if you've ever had that experience, I have. I don't care how good a driver you are. You hit a certain patch of ice, and the car ends up having a mind of its own. And he was in a major spin-up. And he was just hanging onto the steering wheel, trying to make the car go into the direction it's supposed to go to. And he said, while I'm doing this, he's on automatic driver's pilot, if you will. He said, the only thing that was going through his mind was his mother. He said, oh, my goodness. I can't do this to her. I can't die now. I can't have an accident. This cannot happen to our family. Now, the reason that a lot of these thoughts were running through his head is that 2 weeks earlier, a cousin of his, Ensign Craig Tribby, he was a naval flight officer. He had been forced to eject from a test flight. He was lost over the ocean. And 2 weeks later, they still hadn't found his body, and there wasn't much hope. I mean, he was out in the middle of this massive ocean. They couldn't find him, and they figured they never were going to find him. And his mother really was affected deeply by this. She was in a deep state of grief, and she just wanted closure. She just wanted to have the young man's body brought home. Now, Craig and his family had been more than just a cousin. He lived with his mom and dad and him after his parents divorced, and he felt like a little brother to Dr. Milton Pug. And he said, I knew Craig was going to end up being a flyer because that was his passion. I mean, he always pretended to be either a plane or a pilot. That was it. He just came in wanting that. And when he was a teenager, he took a job sweeping airplane hangars so he could afford flying lessons. So nobody was surprised in the family that he realized his dream and become a pilot. And everybody was thrilled for him because he'd accomplished something very special. So these memories were running through the doctor's mind. And he said a prayer And this is what he said. He said, please, God, our family cannot deal with this now, not so soon after losing Craig. Now, what happened in a split second after he uttered those words where he saw a face come into focus? The windshield was totally covered, but this face appeared in front of him, and it was Craig. And he said he was just stunned. The image was as clear as if he were standing right in front of his car, but he said, that can't be. Now, the image disappeared. The car managed to right itself, went back into the correct lane, and was moving on the highway as if it had never been in a spin at all. Well, you can imagine the doctor was just shaking so violently because this is really traumatic. I know, I've been involved in something like this. The adrenaline is just going like crazy. Now, the doctor felt that he was very lucky to be alive, and he said Craig had something to do with it. When he got home, took a long time to get there, but when he got home, his wife, after he got in and was made comfortable, his wife said, I want you to know, they just discovered Craig's body. He said, I know. And then he told his wife what happened. And he said, I felt Craig had come to me on the last flight of his life. And the doctor said, with his new wings, to save my life. Powerful story, isn't it? Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. If you'd like to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. I want to let you know who's coming up next week. We're going to be talking about the caddy who knew Ben Hogan, John Coyne, and he's got a wonderful novel. So if you have somebody on your Christmas list that is a golfing person, you're going to enjoy this quite a bit. And then the Take Charge Patient, Martine Imrenklau. Boy, what a book. I'm telling you, in today's world with all kinds of medical challenges, this is a must listen to. This is a fabulous publication. On Wednesday of next week, we're going to be doing the Best of Donna because I am going to be on a business trip, and I will be back, however, by Thursday. But we are going to be having Hildegard of Bingen. If you missed that interview, you will hear it again this next Wednesday. Take back your time. Oh, how many of us during the holiday season feel like we are just going bing, 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 like a little ping pong ball inside of a box, and we go, oh, please, give me some time. Well, Sherry McGuire is going to be sharing some tips with us. And then Bob Curran in Ireland. Oh, this guy is a historian. He just does some wonderful stuff. He's going to be a guest with us a week from today, and we're going to be talking about a haunted mind. So we've got a great lineup of guests. If you want to know who's coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, always check out the show information on bbsradio.com or check out my website, because in my newsletter I also give a listing of gifts. But on BBS, I have a little bit of a bio. Since this is December 7th, I wanted to share some concepts. This is the holiday season. And for our soldiers and for their families, I came across some wonderful suggestions, and I thought I would share them with you because maybe you want to do something, but you just, you know, your budget is tight, or maybe you go, I just don't know what to do. Well, I've got a few tips here. One, you can sponsor a USO care package for someone in the military, and it's only a $25 donation, and they'll have a prepaid international food card, toiletries, snacks, and this is for the soldiers that are in Afghanistan, Kuwait, and other overseas locations. Now, if you want to know how to do this, go to USO.org, and you could also shop the USO Wish Book, and that's USOWishBook.org, where you can make a selection about what you'd like to send. Now, lots of times kids are very much alone. Their moms or dads are in their overseas assignment, and they have something for children. It's called OperationHomefront.net, OperationHomefront.net. Now, what they do, they collect toys for military kids, and last year, this organization all by itself delivered more than 7 million toys. And you can go to your dollar store if you don't have a big budget. You can pick up a board game, Play-Doh. There's so many things you can do. You don't have to spend a lot of money. And they make sure that all of these items get to the children. And then cards. It really means a lot. Many times we think emails are so special. I'm telling you, to actually get that physical Christmas card is so significant. Now, the American Red Cross sponsors the Holiday Mail for Heroes program, and they deliver cards that are inscribed with messages, encouraging messages to those soldiers worldwide. So you can host, if you want, a card-making party. They've got to be received by December 7th for Christmas delivery, which is today. You can send them to the Holiday Mail for Heroes, P.O. Box 5456, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20791-5456. And if you think you're going to miss the deadline, don't worry. You can send cards year-round to soldiers via amillionthanks.org. So if you don't make it for Christmas, know those cards are welcome year-round. Amillionthanks.org. And Operation Care Package, it's a nonprofit started by relatives of deployed troops. They collect Christmas stockings throughout the year to send to soldiers overseas. You can help by sending an empty stocking, and then the organization fills it for the men and women, and many items that they just absolutely love giving to the soldiers are coffee, Slim Jims, protein bars, hand warmers, and they love homemade items like your small pillows with greetings written on them in a permanent marker. Now, Debbie Smothers is a person that is the co-founder. You can reach her through operationcarepackages.org. So those are just a few suggestions for our men and women who have made a commitment to serve their nation in the best way that they know how. So this program has been dedicated to them and to those that even are yet to become the warriors for the red, white, and blue. It's so important that we understand that freedom is never free. Freedom comes always with a price. And if you don't believe it, look at our history. There were a lot of men and women in the early days of this nation of ours that sacrificed everything, lost everything, because they so believed in the principle of freedom. And that's what we need to remember. And those of us on the home front need to honor and respect the memory of the history that we have, in that those lives were not wasted, that the rights, privileges, and liberties, which we so fervently should respect and cherish, still need that protection. They still need to be fought for in their own way. And this is something that we can do, whether we are on the front of the battle or whether we are on the home front, waiting for those soldiers to come home. We all have something we can contribute. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent weekend wherever you are. Be wise, be safe, have fun, because the holidays are meant to be filled with joy, light, love, and a feeling that there's something absolutely magnificent about this experience of life. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be talking with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.